Yes, please stand in body or in spirit. Where we see death, God speaks life.
Where we see God, our bones, God breathes life.
I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. For his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son came into the world to free us all from sin and death. Breathe upon us the power of your Spirit, that we may be raised to new life in Christ and serve you in righteousness all our days through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated for the round.
The first reading is from Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many laying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come on you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.'" So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, 'Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 130 responsively with me. "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord.
Lord,
If you, O Lord, shall mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. The second reading is from Romans, the 8th chapter. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the spirit, since the spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit of life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. The word of the Lord.
Remain seated. This is the Holy Gospel according to John, the 11th chapter. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So her sister sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." So of course Jesus went right away. Or not. Jesus heard it and said, "The illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister, and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and are you going to go there again?" Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of the world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." And the disciples, of course, said, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he'll be okay." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death. But they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go so that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha yelled at Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, My brother would not have died. Sorry. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet, and still she yelled, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, the Jews came with her also weeping. He was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. Some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone was laying against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there's a stench because he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and says, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise be to Christ.
So a little backdrop for this sermon. It's like maybe more of an angry sermon. It's been a tough week when it comes to this wonderful thing called death. Here in Galleon, just last Saturday, there was a death of a 12-year-old boy. Very tragic. The funeral is today. Over in Upper, where I live, have a neighbor who was just at that funeral yesterday for a 34-year-old man with 2 young daughters and a wife. I'm kind of angry at death right now. So this is where I was and still am when I wrote this sermon. There's the backdrop for it. But first, a little levity with a story. Legend has it, and since this originated in this legend originated in a strange and faraway land, New Jersey. If you're from New Jersey, sorry. It's strange and faraway to me. It happened when I was at most 10 years old, so it is a legend to me. And like any story that's made its way through a few rounds of telephone, I first heard it from Luther Seminary professor Matthew Skinner. And so, again, telephone, we know how this game works. Some of the details as you go along, and this story is passed along now 40 years old, almost 30, those details are improved over time to make the story a little better. However, the ending of this story, and I am certain of this, the ending of this story is always the same. This story is about a man named J. Christian Beeker. He was born in 1924 in the Netherlands. This was not a great time to be born in Europe, nearest I can tell. After the Nazis invaded his homeland in 1940, he was then conscripted into a labor camp, a young, able-bodied teenager. He was forced to build German U-boats there. You know, these machines of war that were designed for death. Machines of So first surviving typhus, then surviving the camp, and ultimately surviving this war, Beeker eventually made his way to a strange and faraway land, New Jersey, right? Decades after this war, there was a faculty lunch at Princeton Theological Seminary. How many people knew Princeton was in New Jersey? I didn't until I was like 20. He was a professor of New Testament studies there. He was sitting at a lunch with a bunch of nerdy theologians and professors when one of them starts waxing poetic about death. And I gotta say, Beeker must have been having a bad day or a bad week or a bad life when it came to death, because he did not like this conversation. This unnamed professor was going on, death is just part of life. Death is something natural. Death is something, you know, to be accepted. You know, maybe we as Christians, maybe what we need to do is come up with a theological acceptance of death. And Beeker, this man who is a teenager, who was forced to build machines of death, who in the labor camp was surrounded himself by death, who as one with typhus, narrowly himself escaped death. Beeker slams his hand on the table and he says, "No! Death is the enemy. Death is the enemy." That is a man who does not have a theological acceptance of death. And we as Christians should not have a theological acceptance of death, because that right there says that God does not accept death. After he had his little outburst, I guess he was happy that he stopped that conversation in its tracks, and he goes on eating his lunch. Death may be a part of life, but make no mistake, death is the enemy. That's why when we go to like calling hours, when we go to funerals, for like ever, we've been trying to find out what we say. What are the right words to say when we go to these places? But we can't figure them out, can we? The best that we've come up with in all of the years, you know them all. Oh, well, he's in a better place now. Or, well, at least she's not suffering anymore. That's what we tell ourselves. Oh, I'm sorry for your loss as we're walking away quickly, because we want to escape death. Let me know if there's anything we can do for you. We'll be over later with a casserole. That was a funny line. I'm trying to break up the levity. A little levity, okay? Even our most well-intentioned words, we've said them. We've all said them, haven't we? Even when we deliver them with as much care and sincerity as we can possibly do, they always ring just a bit hollow, don't they? They're always hollow to the bereaved, because nothing about death feels right. And yet death, it just marches on and on. It's relentless. It claims victim after victim, mother and father, husband and wife, brother and sister, child. It claims children. Claims our friends and all of our loved ones. Death is a relentless enemy. Death may be part of life, but death is the enemy. When I started clinical pastoral education, this was like my biggest barrier to becoming a pastor, by the way, is I'm like, I can't deal with these horrible moments. What do I say in these horrible moments of life? What do I say to someone in the worst moment of their life? Clinical pastoral education, it's where you learn pastoral care by doing. Here, right here in this year, they're going to teach me the right thing to say, the right words that can fix it, or at least make it better, right? And after a year, you know what I learned? These words don't exist, because words cannot undo death. Not your words, nor my words. Not the words of an everyday person. Not the words of some clinically trained pastor. No words that any of us can say undo death. But there is one thing I learned. It took me a whole year to figure it out, and I'm still figuring out. The one thing that matters is showing up. Which is why every time I read this story, especially this week, about Jesus and about his friend, so-called friend Lazarus. Why doesn't Jesus show up when he's supposed to show up? Why? He could have been there. Not only does he not show up, he stays put for two more days, apparently wanting to be sure his friend is good and dead before showing up. What kind of friend is this? We sing a hymn about this. What a friend we have in Jesus. Not that guy. By the time Jesus gets there, by the time Jesus eventually shows up, a distraught Mary and an angry Martha, a rightly angry Martha and a rightly angry Mary say, Lord, if you had been here, if you had only shown up, who here has yelled, screamed, shouted those words? Or maybe just yelled and screamed and shouted them silently. In the face of our grief, in the face of death, how many times have we cried these desperate words of anguish and despair? Where have you been? Where were you? If you had only been here when I needed you, if you had only shown up, my brother wouldn't have died. My son wouldn't have died. My wife wouldn't have died. My insert whoever in there wouldn't have died. What's mildly infuriating, but also comforting, is Jesus doesn't try to explain his absence. There's no, oh, I'm sorry for your loss, Mary and Martha, but Lazarus, he was a great man. He'll be missed. There's no, well, your brother's in a better place now. These are not Jesus' words. Mary, she falls weeping at Jesus' feet and Jesus confronts the tomb of his friend Lazarus. And in the most human of all moments, what does Jesus, the Son of God, do? Jesus weeps. He hasn't shown up when or how Mary and Martha wanted him to. But Jesus does show up at that tomb and he weeps. The word that's used here does not suggest the kind of tears that I normally shed when I'm angry at God about death or something else, the where were you, God, kind of tears. No, Jesus' tears are different here. They're something quieter. They're almost silent tears. Because sometimes in the midst of a grief that is so big and so inexplicable, death that we cannot understand and cannot explain, there are no words Only tears. Even for God. Only tears. Yes, death may be a part of life, but surely death is the enemy. Even for God, death is the enemy. And that is why we can never have a theological acceptance of death. This cross stands in bold witness against the idea of a theological acceptance of death, because our God does not accept death. God does not let this enemy, death, win. Death does not get to have the final word, because God has the final word. The same Jesus who stood there and shed these silent tears, he eventually speaks directly into the face of death. He prefigures what's coming up for him on the cusp of the Easter season. He orders the tomb to be opened and he says, "Lazarus, come out!" And I like to think he adds words that weren't recorded, because death, you do not get to win. These are not the words of a man. These are not the words of a God who has a theological acceptance of death, because we do not theologically accept death as the end. These are the words of a man who says, "Death is the enemy." Who says, "Death, you do not get to win." Just as Jesus is defiant in the face of death, we too act in defiance. When we, as hard as it is, show up in the places of death. We do it all the time. We show up and we mourn. We show up and we comfort. We show up and we hug. We show up and we cry loud, angry tears. We shed silent tears. We show up and console. Sometimes we show up and we say stupid things. That's okay, because we show up. And ultimately, when we do, we shove our thumb in the eye of death. When we show up in these places, sometimes keeping silent, because what do you say when there are no words? What do you say to the mother of the 12-year-old? What do you say to the daughter of the 34-year-old? The wife of the 34-year-old? Silence, though, it is not acceptance. Silence is not defeat. Because our presence, our showing up, even in the silence, is life breaking in and boldly confronting that wretched enemy, death. Because when we show up, we do not show up alone. I don't know why it took him 2 extra days to show up. He tries to explain it, but I don't like his explanation. But he does show up. The one who weeps, he's there with us. The one who stands at the tomb and cries out at death is there. The one who stands at the tomb and cries and calls life out of death, he's there with us. My dear siblings in Christ, the ending of this story, of Lazarus' story, it's the ending of our story too, it is always the same, and it does not end in death, I can assure you of that. Because death, that old, horrible, wretched enemy, it does not win, and we know this. We know this. Because as Jesus told Mary and Martha, he says, I am. The resurrection and the life.
Come,
you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
Reconciled by God's mercy, sustained by God's grace, let us pray for the world and its needs.
We pray for the nations, especially in the Middle East, for Iran, Israel, Lebanon, those in Gaza, and all caught in widening conflict. Unbind leaders from fear and pride and turn them instead toward justice and peace. Protect all who live under threat and guide refugees and all who flee to places of safety. Keep safe those who serve in harm's way and bring them home to those who love them. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. We pray for all people in need. Take away the stone of poverty that weighs down so many. Console any who weep, and heal all who are sick, especially the family and friends of Aiden, for Barb, Clint, Devin, Chuck, Jack, Tammy, Doug, Keith, Linda, Ed, for Rhonda, for Colin, Brecklin, and Nora, for Rod, for the family and friends of Martha, for the family and friends of Alan, for those in our long-term, homebound, assisted living, and limited mobility prayer lists, for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for the church. God of new life, you breathe life into dry bones and they lived. Breathe renewing life into First Lutheran and Galleon. Open our hearts and minds to your ongoing work and call us forward out of weariness into strength, out of uncertainty into vision, out of fear into living faith. Make us bold in your spirit. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Receive our prayers, O God, through Jesus Christ, our strength and our salvation. Amen. And now, may the peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of God's peace. Time we continue worship with our gifts and our offerings.
Let us pray. O God, maker of heaven and earth, your steadfast love embraces all creation. You send rain and sunshine to nourish the earth and bring forth its bounty. Through these gifts of bread and wine, draw us into the death and life of your Son, who calls us to bear witness to his saving work. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and our duty and our joy that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and to prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. He gave thanks. He broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. And again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you. And for all people, for the forgiveness of sin, do this for the remembrance of me. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Trespass against us, and lead us not to temptation. Amen. Death is the enemy, but come, receive these, the gifts of life.
Thank you.
Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. God of our salvation, we give you thanks for this meal that restores our souls, reconciles us to you, and strengthens us for the journey. Through the body and blood of your Son, may we become Christ's body in the world, bearing witness to your love for all creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen. Few announcements this morning. Given the subject of the day, highlight one of those places of death that we come together to confront death and bring life is Grief Share. It continues on Monday at this Monday, 6:30 to 8:30, is that right? At St. Paul United Methodist over by the hospital. If you know anyone that needs Grief Share, please let them know, or if you yourself need it. I know it's helped many people in this congregation, and I continue to encourage that. So, let's see. We have a congregation meeting, special congregation meeting this Sunday, coming Sunday, following our worship service. We will discuss and vote on a proposed audio-visual system, and we encourage you to attend. So there's an announcement about that in your bulletin. Please reach out to me or Jeff Dinkle or Randy Lady or Ron Voorhees if you have more questions on that ahead of the meeting. You want to mention the dart ball announcement, either of you?
Well, our season is over. Tomorrow night is our tournament. We end up in second place for the year outright. But other than that, we encourage anybody that's wanting to watch the game tomorrow night. It's in Shelby at Awake Church, out there on 39, I think it is.
The address is in the bulletin.
Hmm?
The address is in the bulletin.
The address is in the bulletin.
After 8 o'clock.
So our draw, we have our first game at 8 o'clock. It's single elimination, so... the championship game is at 10 o'clock, and we plan on being here throughout the whole night. So
I just want to say, it is First Lutheran Church, so, you know, first in the tournament.
Exactly. That is right. First Lutheran Church is always first, correct?
Well, except for you just said you got second in the regular season. Anyway, all right.
You take second in the season, you take first.
There we go. There we go. All right.
Lots of prayers and encouragement would help. All right, thank you.
All right, any other announcements this morning? Yes, ma'am.
Two things. So it is our fourth year doing the expo. That's going to be on May 16th. We are going to be the car show again. We're talking with Valley Meadows about helping their residents this year. We're also adding a craft show for you crafters. We're going to charge $10 a booth. If you want to donate, we're going to Project Noel, which helps to support family
Seeing and hearing none, please stand as we receive God's blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen. Says the Lord.
O Lord, you have answered. Your spirit brings life.
Let us go forth, unbound and made new.
We are